Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening. Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, Captain Scott Shank.
I'm here.
Yeah, and Captain Ricky is sitting over here. He's gonna throw in his 2 cents here because we're all just to kind of bring folks to let them know what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
So with Captain's Choice Tackle, which is the company you and I started.
Yep.
Ricky's wife is doing our website. So They're like, well, we'll just come on Thursday because that's when everybody's there. Just
we got three gackles downstairs and us upstairs.
Hopefully they're not listening.
Yeah. God, thank God I'm not downstairs. Yeah. All I got to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. So they cannot hear us.
Nope. Thank goodness. Because they don't listen.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been fun. And Ricky is he's Ricky the Rookie. This is his first year. Of running charters.
Boy, are we not throwing him under the bus?
Oh
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and every day I know with him, it gets easier. It's a tough business.
It never gets easy.
No, it never gets easy. And this year's been tough, man. This year's been tough. I mean, I
do you seriously remember as worse of a bait year that this possibly
no,
has been?
No, they can't. No. We've already talked. And no. It's you know, I mean, every morning is...
It's real. It's a struggle every morning.
Every morning's a struggle.
You wake up every morning at 5 o'clock knowing darn good and well you got to put the boat in the water early.
Yeah.
And God-fearing you got a high tide like we do right now, so it's just baits everywhere. Well, not I shouldn't say it like that, but they have enough water to be everywhere.
Right.
You know, we don't have that low tide where you know you can pull up on a bank first thing in the morning at sunrise and watch the mullet train come down the beach and go, foom, and catch you.
Well, when's the last time ever that you've trolled mullet this many times? I mean, it's been our mainstay. I mean, mullet is...
If I don't go out with mullets, I mean, you know, and we'll talk about that because we all know that, honestly, me personally, I would rather troll a mullet on the beach than anything.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Okay?
Sure.
But, boy... You clear after 4 miles and try to go pull one offshore?
that's
I can tell you.
I did catch a sailfish on one this year.
Did you?
I did.
Ooh.
I did.
One of the cobias today came off a mullet.
They'll eat that. Yeah, they'll eat that. But a king, I mean, you know, you're sitting there trolling one of them hammer knocks, you know, or whatever. Now on the beach, you can guarantee that it's going to be an air show because he's coming out of the water to eat that big old joker.
Yep.
But out there, they go, whoa, what the hell is that? You know, they'll back away from it.
And about a 5-inch mullet offshore.
We'll get eaten.
But those big ones, you pull them jokers all day out there. But on the beach, they hammer them, man.
Oh, man. Did you hear Captain Zach Timmons this afternoon?
Yeah.
He had a sailfish behind his baits on the beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
The
water was cobalt blue, the most gorgeous color I've ever seen.
When I came off the throttle and looked down, I went, oh, my God.
The tide line was gorgeous.
I was begging for more baits because I knew it was getting ready to happen. But, you know.
God, folks, it's bad when you throw the net for 2.5 hours. And I'm telling you, legit, throw it for 2.5 hours.
Yep.
And you roll out the inlet with 8 baits. You go, this is going to be a long day.
Yeah.
Or a real quick day.
Or a real quick day.
Quick day.
Yeah.
And it almost had a quick day for myself. I went all the way to the back of the run.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
not
fishing in a bay boat. And almost didn't make it out.
I told you didn't hear me call you on the radio.
I
said, it's getting
you.
Skinny, dude.
Yep.
I said, don't go back any farther. You about hung that joker up right there, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was pumping mud coming out of there.
Yeah.
And I was going, oh, God.
Oh, God.
Because trust me, I did it yesterday.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's just, but that's what you got to do right now. You're trying to do everything you can.
I didn't tell you that story.
To get some kind of bait, you know, and then we're calling all the guys at Mayport, mm-hmm. and all the guys at Mayport are calling us, you know, and so anyway, I mean, but the crazy thing is if you can get the right baits and stuff, the fish are there, you know.
The beach bite this morning was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until about 11 o'clock.
I didn't rat you out, by the way.
Oh, you didn't rat me out?
No.
He doesn't know?
I didn't tell, so.
Okay, good. Thank God. Oh, my gosh.
Like today?
No, like yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
Like, thank goodness for Captain Alcumby with big twin outboards. And he was right there.
I was coming as hard as I could, man. I had to blow the no-wake zone a little.
So I'm catching mullet in Hospital Creek. I'm going to go ahead and confess on myself. So okay. I'm catching mullet in Hospital Creek. Yeah. Get done catching bait. Go, dang, it's 7:40. I got to go. So I go out. Like going east towards the Alana Beach boat ramp. Yep. Well, it makes that little jog to the left and then back to the right.
Really easy spot for that to happen. Yep.
Did you beach it?
Oh, my God, yes. Full throttle. Whoa!
No way.
I was in 4 inches of water. Ask him.
Yeah.
5 feet is from me to you away where we're sitting at right now.
Oh.
So Al comes over there. He's there. We're just – what can he do but laugh? I mean, I was just like – I mean, I grounded it. And
He did keep a secret because I didn't know anything
about
it.
I didn't want to tell you either because I knew this. So anyhow, so literally, it looked like two trucks stuck in a mud hole, snatch pulling on me. Al finally bumped me once, moved the front end a little bit. The next time, he put that 600 horsepower to work, and that whole damn boat leaned over to about a 40-degree angle. I'm going, whoa, 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 because it felt like you were going to roll over.
Yeah.
Then the third time, he pulled me up. I didn't have to go 5 feet. I just needed 5 feet.
Yeah.
I just cut it just a little bit short.
Yeah.
So we're all trying so hard that stuff like this is, I mean, it's
bound to happen.
Absolutely.
You spend too much time because the bait's there and you're spending too much time. I mean, my fault. I mean, I was late for my charter trying to get to him. I was 10 minutes late.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, typically.
And I know better. I know where to cut that
place during
up.
The summertime, I'll wake up at 5:15, 5:30. Mm-hmm. You know, tootle around the house, you know, to get that dog out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm launching around 6:15, maybe 6:20, because I don't pick the folks up till 7:30, you know, and I idle over to Comanche Cove and I'll make rigs and, you know, and we BS while we're over there. You don't do that now, dude.
Mm-mm. You don't have time. I'll talk to you on the radio. I can't talk to you right now.
You get up at 4:45, 5 o'clock, you go straight somewhere.
Yep.
Whether salt run or up the ditch,
you make your decision.
Something.
You got that. You got that half an hour right there before the sun really breaks the horizon, kind of thing.
Yeah.
To hopefully ensure a few baits, because of course then.
And the boys struck out today to the north because there was bait north yesterday, and dude, some of them went to the pier, I believe.
Jack's Beach Pier, turned around and came back and met me in Salt Run,
and went into Salt Run after. Being on the ocean for 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, I found that bet yesterday, too, and I would have thought it was a sure bet, too. That was my plan this morning. I was going there.
Nope.
But them guys saved me a little time. And
there is no
too.
Sure bet this year.
No, you don't ever leave without something. I mean, you
Because
got
you
to...
called me on Monday. I was on the tractor.
Dude, it was...
You were so
excited.
Oh, my
God. I was so excited. I was looking forward to the week, and now it's just, 3 days of hell.
Yeah. I mean, I literally left the inlet with two baits this morning.
It goes one for two. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I did. I was on a bite of fish with two baits.
And quick.
Yeah, that was the problem. That was the problem. I mean, in 15 minutes, I'm done.
Did you even make a second circle or just one? I mean, one pull?
No. I started at 45 feet, caught the first one at 43, and caught the second one at 33. I never went east the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I looked down and I gaffed the second one, you know, and I said, "Look, we're gonna run back to the inlet, and if we find bait, if it happens to come up, you know." But I mean, by the time I got back in, it's 10:30. The trip's over at 12.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? You gonna run into Salt Run?
Yep.
How many boats do you think left out of the inlet after 9:30 this morning that picked their charters up 7?
Oh, 7:30? Heck, at least 10.
Oh, at least.
At least 10.
Because
I left at 9:30. I didn't see you leave.
No.
I was the first one out there. I mean, outside. He made the break. But as far as all of us in Salt Run,
yep.
I was kind of the first one out of that group.
Yeah,
right there.
I passed the buoy at 10 o'clock.
Wow. Yeah, I was probably 9:15.
You know, and the funny thing is I was like you, Ricky. I wasn't putting all my eggs in the basket that they were going to be on the beach or the desert. But I thought, well, you know, there's probably going to be some fish or some bait on the beach if it was. And so I went in and picked my folks up at 7:15. You know, and then you know, listen to those guys. Okay, well, we got to go to Salt Run. It's okay when you're on the boat by yourself and you're trying to catch bait. You know what I mean? But when you got your customers with you, there's a whole new pressure.
I mean, eyes are going, really? You just made four casts and didn't get a sniff? And guys are going, well, right there. He's flipping right there.
Yeah.
I said, you don't understand.
Right, right.
I got to throw on that flip.
Right.
Yeah. It's no good seeing that flip 20 feet away. It doesn't do any good to me.
That's what I'm saying. And then,
we went through that this morning.
And then the third cast is kind of the banana. You know, and they're like going, damn. You know?
So I did that. Scotty put me on. I went to and got the new net that you know, and
finally bought a high tider.
Having a little bit of trouble throwing it. Nothing crazy, but the left side of the net as I throw is back flipping up on. I don't really know what I'm doing, but it's a lot lighter net than I'm used to throwing. I love it. I'm really happy that I have
it. Don't work so hard at it.
Yeah.
Don't swing it so hard. Just relax.
Right.
Just lay it open.
But so you had to use that net today.
Yes, because you can load it so fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like it. I like it for that.
Yep.
He had that 12-footer the other day, and I go over there on Tuesday, and he's going, and he said, can I borrow your net? I said, yeah, here. I said, there's a time and a place.
641-1010, 641-1010. Listen to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. If you want to give us a call again, 641-1010. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Faber, sitting with Captain Scott Shank and Rookie Ricky. I like that. You know.
It has the ring to it.
It does. It does. You know, and you can get rid of that next year.
Yeah.
Just like a greenhorn, like on the Deadliest Catch. You're just a greenhorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you promote.
We're not going to make you eat any pogies.
Yeah, you don't
like
have to drink cod blood or nothing like that.
No.
Man, he's getting off easy compared to what you guys have.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right. Let's go talk to Captain Leon Dana. What's up, Leon?
What's going on, boys? Hey, I'm here, guys.
You're here. You're here. Where's where? I mean, you know, dude, you just take vacations and, you know, I mean.
Kind of been a world traveler as of late.
Well, I mean, you know, busiest part of the year, you're like, oh, I'm just going to take 3 weeks and go to Colorado. No big deal.
Well, it seemed like a pretty decent thing to do with no bait being around and everyone ready to, you know, jump off and end of a bridge. So I was like, screw it, I'm out.
So yeah.
I went and enjoyed myself.
Well, there at least you could jump off a mountain.
Yeah.
You didn't have to worry about the bridge. Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, thank God your buddy doesn't have a bay boat because his casting abilities, we're struggling down here. Can you imagine Chip trying to catch bait?
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
No, Chip would be in line. Chip would be right there in line to buy two dozen, what do you call those, ribbon
blue
fish
runners.
And call it a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would in a heartbeat.
So none of us have fished inshore recently. And
right.
So first off, what is the bait situation? Because if memory serves me correct, in July – when I ran a lot of inshore trips, bait was brutal.
Yeah, it can be tough. I'm happy to say that Palm Valley Outdoors has got a full cart of shrimp. Scotty, they're not soft bellies. They're pretty stout. I used them today. I got 10 dozen myself today, no problem. And late this afternoon, they got mud minnows in also. So, hey. They're one of the few that's got it right now, so I feel pretty fortunate because I sure as hell don't want to be out there for a few hours trying to throw bait, trying to catch the mullet, which, by the way, Kevin, they are starting to get to be of that size that you can throw them for bait. So,
caught him yesterday.
Like right now, I
caught him yesterday.
I got him in my live well right now.
Yep. As a matter of fact, today after my charter because it was a low tide. I thought, okay, I'll go try to find some mullet for tomorrow, pin them up. I don't know if they'll live. But the reason I say that is that I caught some small mullet. I caught some perfect flounder, redfish size, jig head mullet for sure. Yes. Yep.
Yes, sir.
So,
that's exactly what I'm using it for. And I mean, I murdered the mangrove snappers today with those little mullet. They just butchered them today.
they do. They love them.
They do. I mean, they just hammered the fire out of those little suckers. But having said that, water temperature is about 86 degrees in the valley right now. We got a high outgoing tide this week. Water clarity is decent, I'll say that. So, I mean, it's not that bad. Captain Chip Wingo and I, he'll go over it in his report, but I've been fishing deeper water with him and producing much better fish than I ever have in the creeks this week also. So I've stayed completely out of the back creeks because basically the back creeks, they don't have as much water flow. Water temperature's hotter. Thus, you got less oxygen back in there, so I don't blame them for not being in there. Chip and Corey brought me in this week to fish the valley in some new spots, deeper water, and it's been redfish, trout, flounder, black drum, sheephead. It's been a decent bite. I mean, really, using both the mud, mullet that I'm catching and live shrimp. So,
yesterday you ran the beach.
Was it yesterday or was it the day before? One of those days. Yeah, I ran the beach. You know how my memory is. And I found a good bait, pogies in 20 feet of water out in front of the sea turtle. Maybe it was yesterday. And today I got word that all the pogies had moved north all the way up to Nassau. So,
that's what we heard, too.
It sucks having to chase things around like that.
Yep.
Dude, literally here today, gone tomorrow thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
one day.
You know, one day.
15-mile move in one day?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
And that is crazy.
It's amazing.
But you know what? I talked about this in April. You couldn't – I mean, you literally – and Leon, you know me. In April,
sure.
I'm fishing bait pods, baby, whether it be jacks, sharks,
redfish,
cobia, and I couldn't fish them because they were going so fast to the north. I mean, you couldn't put your trolling motor on 10
to catch them.
To catch them, and then how are you going to fish them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't. Mm-hmm. there was fish in them, but you couldn't fish because they were moving so fast to the north.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's been all year.
Yesterday it was like that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were traveling. When we went up there to catch those ones up in the desert right there, that school we were chasing.
Yep. And I went back, and I had hard luck where you were wearing them out. So I came back to the beach and tried to catch tarpon in the pogie pods, and they were running. They were running hard.
Yeah.
To the north.
To the north. So it's the weirdest damn thing. I don't know, buddy.
And there's no bait anywhere south of here. Flagler Beach, nowhere.
No, trust me. there's nothing
no
south. No.
Why has everything been living up?
My and all the way to Flagler Pier yesterday looking for tarpon.
Really?
Yep. Nothing.
Ouch.
Nothing. Yeah.
I got
absolutely
lucky
nothing.
Myself. Kevin, I got lucky.
Yeah, so tell me about this deep water tarpon fishing you're doing.
Deep water tarpon fishing is basically fishing outside the jetties, on the north jetties or the south jetties, just like your bull red fishing. And I'm fishing 40 feet of water, and I'm not kidding you. I'm using 40-pound main line, then I'm going to 50-pound leader, and then I'm running a 10-ounce egg on a 10-ounce10-ounce weight, and then I'm running a 7-aught circle hook with about 4 feet of 80-pound with a live turbo, and I'm picking up sharks, picking up bull reds. Well, I didn't catch a bull red yesterday, but I watched Captain Crowder catch one. I got two tarpon. So I got three sharks yesterday, two tarpon, and my Lord, there are some of the biggest stinking stingrays I've ever seen in my life out there. I got three of those things, and my client after the second one's, Lord, Leon, please do not let me hook another one of those damn things. But
yeah.
Is this a fish finder rig or a knocker rig?
It's just like our – it's not like – it's got those blue – you know the blue
slotted clips.
It's not a clip-on, but it's that big clip that you can put large bank sinkers on.
Yeah, it's a slide clip.
Well, the exact same way you're going to have a double red. Right.
Yeah.
Right there to a swivel. I mean, I'm using 4 foot of 80 pounds with a 7-aught Mewtwo light hook, circle hook, hooking a big turbo, and they love it like that. They absolutely love it.
Now, the sinker's not a breakaway?
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask. The sinker's not a breakaway?
You're leaving that sinker on as he's jumping?
No. The sinker, I know, as insane as it sounds, the sinker stays on. Didn't lose a single fish.
Why?
Huh. Well, if you got a circle hook, it's not going to come out.
Yeah, I'm just scared with it running all the way up the line like that. But, I mean, if he's jumping, that sinker's all the way back towards the boat.
First of all, let's remember, a 10-ounce sinker is $5, okay? So I don't want to lose that sinker.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to be straightforward about that, because if you lose number 6 or number 7, I'd be pissed. You know, I'm losing money now, but no.
Right. Hey, I get that.
Yeah. That bank
I get that.
It doesn't float very far up the line, Scotty. And the two landed, I mean, the bank sinker was right up against the swivel. I just reached down there and freaking popped them off. I mean,
whenever I do, and I haven't done this, I may have to go back to it this year, simply for the fact that there's no bait. You know, I mean, I've got 3 or 4 really good inshore spots for tarpon. And, you know, I basically use the same rig that you're talking about, Leon, except I still use the two swivels, you know, swivel on the main line, and then 80 pound fluoro, and then put my weight on there, and then another swivel. But then I use a long leader, you know, so the tarpon has when he jumps, but that swivel can't go up.
Yeah, you got a foot in between.
Right.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah, worst case scenario. So you know, and it gives me the option, too, if I have to, if the current's running harder, I could just clip one of those swivels, put a different weight on there. But I've always like, you know, I love that rig when I'm fishing like that, Leon. Because I can control the fish with it. You can grab the weight.
Yep.
And control the fish with it. Yep. That's always an advantage. But I haven't inshore fish for tarpon in several years because I haven't had to. Well, when I say that, I'm talking up the river, Leon.
Right, I'm not
talking about the inlet. Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, we during the mullet run, we're all catching tarpon inshore. You know, so. I just found that interesting. Were you chumming at all?
No, I was not at all. And I mean, a bait couldn't sit down there for 5 minutes without it getting terrorized by something. And I know it's so unorthodox, but by golly, it works. And it kind of makes me want to think about going down to the Volano jetties and pull the same rigs down there. Because, I mean, you mark some really big fish on the bottom. It wouldn't surprise me if they're either bull reds or tarpon.
The one thing that I threatened to do.
Oh gosh!
No, I have seriously thought about this, and I know Scott, you and I have talked about this. Is taking the downrigger, and hooking that bait up to the downrigger, dropping it to the bottom, reeling it once it hits the bottom, reel it up like 2 feet with that current,
and keep it short.
Yeah,
I mean,
keep it short.
Instead, 30 feet or something.
No,
we're dropping our baits
out
down 10 feet, 5 feet.
Yeah, but put that downrigger down there.
And I
guarantee it would work.
Mm-hmm. It's got to.
Yeah.
And then you don't have the lead on the line.
And then you don't have the lead on the line.
Right.
Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
Kevin, I was doing that years ago with my downrigger on my midfeet fishing for bull reds, and it worked perfectly.
Sure. Yeah.
It worked perfectly.
There you go.
Well, you can fish lighter tackle to a certain extent. You know, you're not out there throwing 4-aughts and stuff to catch bull reds. You can drop down to, you know, where it's a little fun to pull on them.
No, and not only that, but you're not worried about getting hung up.
Right.
You know.
And we're doing this on anchor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just anchor up.
Yeah, anchor up
and put the downrigger down.
Yeah.
You know, drop it all the way to the bottom, hit the bottom, and then crank it up 2 or 3 feet.
Yep. And then have a breakaway set up so you can get away from your anchor afloat.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need that. You do.
Yeah.
All we do is push a button.
I got you.
It's called spot lock.
Yeah. Yeah, but now for years and years and years, I always had a breakaway, and honestly, I used a life jacket.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, So, and, you know, I was always lucky because that's a $25 life jacket you're tying on there, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, right. I always used a life jacket.
Yeah.
Yep. And there was probably, I'm going to say, three times I didn't make it to the anchor. Get it undone.
Oh, yeah.
Before, done, pow.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you got to think, you hook a 100-pound tarpon.
Yep. Yeah. Current.
In the current.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got how many seconds?
Not many.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and if angler is just hanging on and not trying to slow the fish down at all, and, you know, you're running up there, if you miss one knot trying to get it undone, you're pow.
Yeah.
Pow.
See ya. And they're like, oh, Captain, I tried. You're like, damn, that's $50.
I was going to say $50 worth of braid and everything else and top shots. Like, yeah, sure, let me get another one down here.
Yeah.
No big deal. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's all good, Cap.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because honestly, Leon, even though we're probably using 6500s, you know, with a little bit of backing, there's not that much 65-pound braid on there.
No.
200 yards?
I wouldn't say no more than that.
Yeah. And a 100-pound fish going down current, down tide.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll rip that off. And
yeah, because I do it so they it doesn't, whatever you want to call it, pack on the spool. But, yeah, I probably have 50, 75 yards of like, 40-pound mono.
Of backing, yeah. But once you get to the backing, you're in trouble.
You know, it's gonzo.
Yeah. just a few times I've saved it.
Have you?
Yeah. You know, doing the marlin back down.
Yeah, high race speed, bearing the stern.
Right.
Look at that bay boat. It's bearing the stern. You're coming over the back, Cap.
Yeah. But like I said, it's at least three times that I know that just trying to make it back to the throttle and it's over. You know?
I did it last year. Say what Leon's talking. I mean, it's September, you get the mullet run, so I'm inshore fishing the jetties or whatever and catching reds or flounder or whatever. And a rod goes off, and one day, I think you were out there too. We had to make a decision if we were going out that inlet.
Oh, no, you don't go out the inlet.
It was 6 foot.
Yeah.
Standing straight up. He hooked up first and got out there, popped his off. Then I hook up, and it's going out by the green marker right there at the first green can going out the south jetty right there. And it was like, look here. Okay. You better put the heat onto that fish, or I said, I'm fixing to pop him off. Because, I mean, it was standing straight up and down.
Yep.
It was big.
Yeah. No, I mean, Leon, literally, I tell people, look, during that time of year, you got to the end of the jetty. And I'm serious. If you don't catch it by the time we get to the end of the jetty, and, dude, that's with me backing down on the throttles, trying to keep that fish from going. If you don't catch it by then, we're cutting him off, and we're going to go get another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it numerous times. Because it's,
hey, that's smart fishing right there, Kevin. Okay, that's just
it's
smart.
Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's.
Yes.
I mean, the problem is, if you get one up boat side, then your boat gets turned sideways.
Yep.
Because you're trying to release it.
Yep.
And then you're in trouble. You know. So,
right.
Yeah.
So no, it's end of jetties or not.
Right. 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 And I have. I've cut them off numerous times. Good job, guys. High five.
Yep. Good job.
Ping.
Yeah.
You got the best out of that one.
That's exactly what I was just getting ready to say.
You got three jumps. What more do you want?
We got the best out of it.
Yeah.
Let's go hook another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Leon, we got to run, buddy. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Later, buddy.
Great job as usual.
Later, Tater.
See
you. Later.
641-1010, 641-1010. You listen to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast on 1010XL. Cap Scott, Ricky Ricky, Captain Kevin, we'll be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. You can always listen to Captain Kevin and myself on Thursday nights, 1010XL from 7 to 8. And maybe every now and again we got Rookie Ricky in. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, just keep up for those updates. But anyhow, Michael, where's Chippy? No
right
Chippy?
Here.
Oh. Oh,
we got him? Come in, Chip.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello. How are
What's
you?
What's up, Stuck Like Chuck Charters?
Here we go. Yep. Thank goodness Ricky did not take any pictures.
All the time, short man. I'm gonna bring up Stuck Like Chuck Charter. I'll do it every single time. So. And I got a question for you. If it's so hard for bait to find bait, why aren't you guys pulling ribbon fish?
Because they're $8 a piece.
Yeah, $8 a piece. Well,
and Leon won't break off a lead, so you're asking me to pull a ribbon fish?
Well, I mean, ribbon fish. You figure you buy five of them, you know,
for $40.
Yeah, and you catch four sharks.
Yeah.
I saw somebody pulling ribbon fish today.
That's because they were in a tournament.
I saw a bunch of ticked off. They couldn't buy their bait today either, so their baits weren't there this morning for them. So
yeah, that's what Ricky was saying. Yeah.
Met a guy at the Milano ramp this morning. His baits weren't where they were supposed to be.
Ricky,
what were you
pull
doing
in
down? Did you pay? Did you pay?
Pay what?
Pay what? Pay to come down here fish with us.
I didn't fish down there. I came ran back up.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, but you were using our facilities.
Yeah. You give me the old phone call. Hey, what's the number to the bathroom code?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much you're in my wheelhouse.
That's $5 right
there.
That
is. Yeah. Automatically.
Yeah.
You can Venmo that, too, at Full House Fishing.
Yeah.
And trust me, in the position he was in, he would have paid $10.
I would imagine. It sounded like he was in panic mode is what he called me. What's the code?
I didn't call you. I texted you. I was very calm and cool and collective. I could have run out and used the bucket. That would have been fine. Anyway, that's horrible with the bait situation. That's strange. How many years has it been since the bait's been this hard to get?
Never. I've never seen this.
Not for this long period of a time.
Yeah, you're right. No, I mean, we'll go 2-3 days.
Yeah, but then there was jigging baits, though. Then we can go offshore and still jig up a couple dozen.
God forbid we had to go to Salt Run to catch bait. Yeah. Now we're like...
Now that's our mainstay. Yeah. That's home port right now.
Yeah, dude, there is no bottom left at Salt Run.
No.
Yeah.
That a sinker lead has not dragged.
Yeah.
A cast net lead ain't drug. I'm telling you that right now. There's no way.
Yeah.
If anybody found a snag, we would have heard about it by now.
Absolutely.
There's no snags.
Well, this week I've had 7 trout over 20 inches.
Wow. In that hot water. Wow.
Yeah, it's deep, though. Everything's coming deep. And, you know I say this every week, but fish bites are saving me. I mean, we caught everything on them. Catching flounder on a little inch-long piece of fish bites.
I saw that. It's pink color. Yep.
It's nuts. You know, it's like, but.
But how about the drum, though? We were complaining that we didn't catch drum in, like, February and March when the water was cool.
Yeah.
Dude, he's catching, like, 15, 18, 20 head of them every day. Might not be legal, but he's catching them.
Well, a lot of them are right at 14 inches, you know. A lot of them are that. And then we've caught some big ones. I had one that was 10 pounds this week, you know, several that were over 17, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. And the ladies this week have been on fire. I mean, every lady that gets on the boat catches all the big fish. It's nuts. You know, so it's
that way on my boat too.
Yeah.
I don't get any ladies, so every day sucks for me.
I'm with Scotty. I'm there. Yep. But, there's no doubt.
I never get no women's.
It's been hot out there, but the bite's been good, you know. I mean, we caught sheep's head, you know. That's the crazy thing too, is the sheep's head, the size of the sheep's head that are around right now. You know, usually I would say late August, you know, maybe into September, you start catching a couple bigger ones, you know, not big, but, you know, 5 pound plus.
Right.
But, you know, we've had a couple of those this week too. And, you know, with the mix of that, with the black drum, the trout, I mean, you were bending rods for a solid 2.5 hours out of the charter. So, and then you're picking at them in between, but, you know, it's nuts. And we're finding fish in deeper water that are feeding on incoming, outgoing, going. It doesn't matter as long as the tide's moving. So, that made me really happy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I know I talked to you this morning. You had a really good tide.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You had a good tide to fish today. And you know, I think for this time of year, that makes a big difference. If you can catch that, you know, the tide early or late.
And it's only a few hours, though. You know, you might not run a 4-hour trip, per se. You know, I mean, but man.
I did a 5-hour trip in an hour and a half today. I mean, so.
And 45 minutes of it was running.
Yes, it was.
Back and forth.
No, I did not fish 10 minutes.
No, you did. Because I was on the phone with you twice when it happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Kevin coming back kind of early. I guess that was that a 4-hour trip or 5-hour, Kevin?
That was a 5-hour.
Was it? I got you.
With two baits.
Yeah. I had two baits.
Wow.
That's all I had. I mean.
Man.
You know,
will they eat lures out there? If you pull,
you know
the
what?
Long
and you promised me, some bomber long A's.
Yep, I remember that.
And if I would have had them today, seriously, I would have pulled them.
I'd have pulled them.
Yep.
Yeah, you promised me some of those too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you remember? I'm getting a box of them.
The
there's six
yet.
Of this size.
I thought you said you.
Size.
I thought he said he already had the.
That's what I thought.
Bombers, I've got them. I've been using them.
No. Well, where the hell's ours?
Yeah.
You told us you had a box of them. I'll give you guys a couple each is what you told us.
Yeah,
I swear
no
to God.
Problem. I forgot them today. I didn't even think about giving them to Kevin because I thought you guys
sure.
had bait.
Sure, you so. Just forget about me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, well, whatever.
So it is what it is.
Hey,
so.
Real quick, though. It's been so daggum hot, guys, okay? I caught myself last night. I had a really bad night of sleeping last night. Anyway, I turned, twisted or whatever, tells me right away I didn't drink enough water.
Oh,
didn't get enough
you got
fluids all day. I was cramped up all. I mean, I literally, if I got 2 hours of sleep last night, I did good.
Uh-huh.
Pedialyte, brother. Pedialyte.
I know. I'm just telling y'all, I did not. I mean, you get so tied up, you know, you got charged with 3 and 4 people on it and all that, and you don't take me time. And this is definitely the time of year you need to take some me time. Even if you just go out in the desert and, you know, pull around or whatever, don't always look for that extra bite. I'm just telling you, last night was a bad night.
No. And it's interesting that he should say that because, you know, usually I have a bottle of water,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll sip on it, this, that, and the other. And I have gone to the big bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's the, yeah, I don't know
it's
how
like
many.
It's like the leader. I think they're calling it the leader.
Yeah. But
it's
I mean.
It's skinny but tall.
Yeah. And you know what? Mm-hmm. You got to drink.
But you got to start it the night when you go to bed. You're instead of having, you know, I mean, a cocktail or Diet Coke or unsweet, whatever, that last one you should go to bed on should be
water.
A glass of water.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, no. They sell this stuff also called BioLite. It's BioLite. It's an IV in a bottle. My brother got sick when we were hunting last year, and I found it up there in Georgia. And I gave it to him. And each little bottle, I think they're only about 6 ounces or 8 ounces, are equal to one IV. So, and you got to hydrate for the next day anyway. But, you
right.
know, you can still drink one or two of those and still have your cocktails, you know, but put those
thank
electrolytes
you.
And everything thank back
you.
In. So.
Hey, but seriously, Ricky, that wind stopped out there yesterday at about 10:30. I mean, when I'm telling you could have fried an egg on our front deck, you could have fried an egg on
right.
our front deck.
Yeah.
It was
hot.
No wind, you know. It
yeah.
was just like
I know.
You make a move, just a couple hundred, just
yeah.
throw some wind in your face real quick. Because I'm pouring sweat.
Hell yeah!
I mean, it's bad.
And if you don't have a fish in the box by that time,
now you're really done.
Now yep. you're really
because
sweating.
They ain't gonna bite in that.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Your day's done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tough
yeah,
day
it's...
yesterday for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
that is just the worst feeling in the world.
That 10:30, and. And,
sweltering hot.
Oh, and Chip, I know you guys have done the inshore stuff so much. It's got to be brutal at 10 o'clock inshore. Oh, my gosh. And you
well,
got no T-top.
Yesterday was the worst day.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the worst
oh,
day.
Was
but
hot.
We've been having those little west winds, and then today it switched around a little bit.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was comfortable.
No, today, today seriously, I took a short nap and went outside to get the mail, and I'm like, oh, hell. I'm going to mow the grass.
I saw that you mowed the grass.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks
good.
It looks
like a golf course out there.
I
put a little bit of divots in it.
I know. It looks good.
What was that, about 9:30 this morning
yeah.
when you were mowing grass?
Oh, that?
No,
yeah.
No. 10:45.
But still, just enough to have a, what do you call them things with the tomato juice in them? Bloody Marys.
No, I did not. I didn't.
What?
No. For one thing, just like what you just talked about,
yeah, no.
You're so dehydrated.
You are. I mean, I don't feel like eating much.
No.
I mean, it's a salad when I get home.
Yeah.
When I get home in the afternoon,
yeah.
Honest to gosh.
Yeah, you got.
You wouldn't tell.
You
couldn't
you
know that,
to,
but I do. Yeah. I swear to God, I don't. I can't. I can't eat anything. If it is, it's like a ham roll-up or something. It's no bread. I don't.
Yep.
I mean, I don't do any of that in the summertime.
Yep.
It's too hard.
So, Chip, just curious, going back to what you were talking about, you're talking about deep water, moving water. Obviously, we're talking about on the edge of the intercoastal. Are these, like, just little pieces of live bottom?
No, just little roll-down edges. We have such great electronics now.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing a lot of putting around and looking, and, you know, when I pull up the spots now, I kind of drift out anywhere from 30 to 20 feet of water, you know, 20 to 30, and start looking around, you know. And once you start seeing fish, you'll see these little pockets, these little holes, you know, or indentions rather.
Yep.
And you'll see fish stacked up on the edges. So I'm like, all right, there's fish down here. I got to figure out what these are. So, you know, to figure out what they are, I've been taking a little piece of fish bite, hooking it on a jig head, putting a shrimp on also, and on that as well, throwing it up current and having the clients just let it bounce down the edges. So throwing up into about 10 feet, you know, because you mark it and then let it come all the way back down. And usually when it's getting to 20, 25 feet of water, boom, there's a good hit.
Wow, you know? That's deep.
Deep this time of year.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to do, you know. I mean, the jig heads that Scotty did for us, I mean, they sink well. They're not bulky. You know, they get down to the bottom quick and, you know, they work. I mean,
yeah.
Especially that smaller tube jig. I mean, that thing, the black drum, it's a no-brainer. You're going to catch
it. Yeah,
it's
only a quarter ounce, bite. Too.
Yeah. But that thing gets down to the bottom good, you know, and I'm using 20-pound braid still, too, and 30-pound fluorocarbon, you know.
How do you like those sparkle jigs, those 3X
I haven't
ones.
Tried the sparkles yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't
get
tried
them
those yet.
I'm so far behind right now. As soon as I catch up, I'll make some.
It's all good. But, I mean, you know, but the fish are there, so – you know, I've gone back into creeks, and then I watched Leon struggle for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going looking for deep fish.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised what's down there. We'd be catching reds, you know, oversized reds in the 30-inch range. You know, we had one today that was almost 27 inches. You know, nice flounder, really nice.
Out there in that deep water.
Yeah, they're all down there. The trout are that deep, too.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, they're fighting a fish, and I'm like, that looks like it might be a good redfish. And it comes up, and it's, you know, the trout we had today was 6 pounds. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
You know,
I haven't caught a 6-pound trout in forever.
No.
You know, and they're healthy. They look beautiful right now, too. I don't, you know, they're not beat up, you know, from the spawn, I guess.
Yeah, but there's so much mullet and stuff around, you know.
Yeah. But I haven't used mullet for bait at all. I've been just using fish bites, curly tails, and the strips. And then we went up in bull redfish the other day and caught them on fish bites, too. And then we caught that 10-pound drum on a curly tail, you know. So it's that bait has changed the way I started fishing this past year and a half. I mean,
because, you've talked about it a lot.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's like I can't tell people enough. And, you know, people go, oh, you're probably sponsored. And I go, look, guys, if you want something, I'm not going to have it on my boat if it doesn't work. Yeah, I got a flats, but I don't have that much room. But, you know, when you're able to catch flounder on a square piece of stuff, you know, that's crazy.
Whatever it is.
Stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I call it, stuff, you know, because it's impregnated gauze, basically, is what it looks like to me. But and it works. You know, I want to try it offshore. You know,
they eat it up.
Dude, they sea bass and all that and red eyes and all that.
The
triggerfish
can't stand it, man. Oh, my
God.
Get the clam or the shrimp.
A sea bass, though, I'd much rather fish with a piece of fish bites than anything.
Well, it doesn't make a mess in your boat. There's nothing worse, honestly. Even when I used to work on the big boats and stuff like that, I didn't want that squid juice all over the place. I would literally get there earlier in the morning, thaw it out, and I'd already pretty much cut up my bait for the day, leaving a few holes for whatever, a cobia or something like that. But I just, and I'd wash it in the sink, and I'd get all that because there was nothing worse than to come back in at the end of the day, have to clean all that damn black stuff all off the boat.
And you don't have to do that with the fish bites. And
no.
By the way, we're not sponsored by them either.
No.
So,
no.
But, it's
but
a,
they
it's
work.
A, it's a hell of a product. Chip, we got to run, buddy. We appreciate
you. Thank you, guys.
Later, Cap.
See you, brother.
See you. Cap Chip Wingo checking in on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. What are you laughing about now?
I always get hell for something. What do you call me? Captain Stuck Around?
Yeah.
What the hell
if you didn't run across a sandbar,
Well, and damn, then, it ain't like the first time anybody's done it.
Yeah, but you did it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah. and not only that, but, hey, I got to give Ricky credit because he didn't – I talked to him yesterday.
There's no pictures. He didn't say a word, and there's no pictures floating around there.
Yeah.
Al had all the chances to get pictures, so did he, because he was all by himself.
By the way, for the record, I would have taken a picture. 641-1010. Give us a call right here on the Moe Southwest School Fishing Forecast.
No sleep till.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Hell yeah, little Beastie Boys, boy.
Oh, my God.
Let's do a weather forecast. We got 2 minutes, he said.
I got it. I got it.
You got it?
I got it coming got up it. Because you know what tomorrow is.
Last day of snapper season. Yes.
Yes.
Can't wait. Can't wait to 11:59 and 59 tomorrow night.
All right, east, southeast, 5 to 10, 2 to 3 tonight. Tomorrow, east, 5 to 10, 2 to 3. The only thing you have to worry about is you got an outgoing tide.
Yes, that inlet was snotty. I came through the inlet, and I told y'all on the radio.
Yeah, inlet was snotty. We're talking about St. Augustine, and I'm sure Mayport's going to be the same way. For Saturday, east, southeast, 5 to 10, 2 to 3. Sunday, east, southeast, 5 to 10, 2 to 3. Monday, southeast, 5 to 10, 2 to 3. So,
welcome to the world.
East, southeast every day, which leads me to believe.
No bait.
No bait. Yep.
So,
yep.
The only blessing is the tide's going to be going out, and we'll have a lower tide in the morning. Starting next week.
Starting next week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something.
Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Because I'm about ready to make some phone calls and go talk to you next year.
Well, I know we got to go, but my problem is I got tarpon trips coming up.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, and if there's no bait and no shrimp boats, I don't know. Folks, make sure you join us for the Nimnik Outdoor Show on Saturday morning from 7 to 10 with myself, Captain Kirk Waltz, obviously Jeff Loggeman. And we'll all be there on Saturday, so make sure you join us. And Cap Scott, Rookie Ricky.
If you want the best tackle around, we're fixing to launch Captain's Choice website.
Yes, we are. Maybe, like, next
like,
week?
Hopefully, something's getting done down there with them gaggles. I hope.
Hey, right. y'all have a great evening, folks.
Okay. See ya.
See ya.